Howdy, folks. Welcome to Lords of Order, a DC's Dr. Fate fan podcast. This is episode 148 of the show, and I am your host, Ed Moore. Beware, there are going to be spoilers for this book today. If you want to get in touch, bigtimenoise.com/Dr. Fate is the website where I post. The Dr. Fate fan podcast at gmail.com is the email that I will read if I get some. Teal Productions has a Facebook page, as does Lords of Order. The quickest way to get in touch is Teal Productions on Twitter. Rather, whether Twitter or Facebook, Teal for Teal Productions is like the color, T-E-A-L. Now, I am looking at Justice League of America, the 1960 volume, issue number 147. Cover dated October 1977, on sale July 7th, 1977, which is 7777, for those of you that are into such things. The cover is by Dick Dillon and Frank McLaughlin. That's all we have, pencils and inks, no other information. Now, the cover, the book itself, is packed full of people. We have three rosters in this book: the Justice League of America, Justice Society of America, and the Legion of Superheroes. On the cover, we have Mordru, the Mystic, who is a Legion of Superheroes bad guy. That is where all of this starts. He is being fought by Brainiac 5, Sun Boy, and Wildfire, while he has imprisoned Batman and Superman of Earth 1, Power Girl of Earth 2, and in a sundial behind him are Green Arrow and Black Canary of Earth 1 as the sands are draining down upon them. The narrator tells us 19 superheroes in the greatest team-up of all time and space. The splash page is again of Mordru. Narrator says, at last, the greatest heroes of two Earths, Justice League of America and the Justice Society of America, team with their most incredible allies of all time, Legion of Superheroes. Now, in this image, we have an hourglass with the sands falling down upon Ultra Boy, Chameleon Lad, Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, and Shadow Lass in the bottom of the hourglass, the sands draining upon them. Mordru is zapping Superman and Batman of Earth 1, Dr. Fate and Power Girl of Earth 2. To battle Mordru the Merciless, a super sorcerer out to conquer an entire galaxy, all that stands between him and his goal are three enchanted objects, and it will take the combined power of three super teams to stop him and prevent a cataclysmic crisis in the 30th century. This is written for us by Paul Levitz and Martin Pascoe, penciled by Dick Dillon, inked by Frank McLaughlin, colored by Anthony Tolan, and lettered by Milt Snappen. If you're looking for reprints of the book, it can be found in Crisis on Multiple Earths, issue 4 from 2002, Justice League of America, The Wedding of the Atom and Jean Loring from 2020, Justice League of America, The Bronze Age Omnibus, issue number 3 from 2017, and Crisis on Multiple Earths, issue number 2 from 2021. So we go into the story proper. This takes up right after issue number 68 of All-Star Comics. We're on the Legion satellite of Earth 1, not the Legion, the JSA satellite of Earth 1, where we're told 22,300 miles above Earth orbits the headquarters of the most honored heroes on Earth, the Justice League of America. But today, this satellite is doubly honored, for now it plays host to the Justice Society as well. First panel, we have the two Flashes, Earth 1 and Earth 2, Wildcat and Star-Spangled Kid from Earth 2, and Psycho Pirate. As they're getting ready to take Psycho Pirate back to Earth 2, the Flashes are speaking here, and we get a break from the narrator, and they explain to us the differences, or not the differences, but how the two Earths exist and everything and why, which is interesting because All-Star Comics actually, you know, brought us into this story. They did nothing in that book to explain how there's an Earth 1 and an Earth 2 and all that kind of stuff. Whereas issue 68 was all about that, right? The heroes from Earth 2 discovered, traveled to Earth 1 like it was nothing, no explanation. Although I will say, in every one of these crossovers that I have read so far, and I've only read from the first to now, so there's been, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 crossovers, maybe? Nine to 10 crossovers. Every time, there's a brief explanation of, well, you know, what do you mean Earth 1 and Earth 2? Well, this is what we mean, Bobby, Johnny, Sally, you know, like the Mr. Wizard thing. So they're getting ready to go, Wildcat and Star Spangled Kid here, when a green arrow, boxing arrow, hits the abort. And Wildcat is upset because he says, the stupid dimensional transporter needs an hour to warm up again. Green Arrow says, that was the general idea, Tiger. Not a tiger, Bowslinger, a wildcat. And as they're about to get into it, Green Lantern of Earth 2 separates the two. This is Green Arrow of Earth 1. I say, of course, because, anyways. So I apologize. I won't always say Earth 1 and Earth 2, but I will get into here, because I didn't. On the cover, we have Sunboy, Brainiac 5, Wildfire, and Princess Projectra, which are some of the Legion of Superheroes. There's another 5 or 6 in here. Justice League is Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and Black Canary. Justice Society is Power Girl, Hawkman, Flash, and Green Lantern and Dr. Fate. Now, we also see, we'll see that there are more Legion of Superheroes than what's on the cover, and I'll try to list just the new ones when we get to that part of the story. Wildcat and Green Arrow are separated, which is interesting. Wildcat is the conservative representative. Green Arrow is the liberal representative of these two. Wildcat takes the place of Green Lantern of Earth 1, who is normally the conservative of the Green Lantern, Green Arrow duo. So Wildcat has stepped in here, since Green Lantern is not a part of this because we already have a Green Lantern. Power Girl is coming on to Superman here pretty majorly, and he asks if she wants to go to the trophy room. Yeah, I say that. That's not what Superman means, but she's all about that. Green Arrow and Black Canary remark about it, but no sooner do the two go into the room that Power Girl screams. Or no, I'm sorry, there is a Green Lantern of Earth 1 is here. Green Lantern, Earth 1, Earth 2, Green Arrow, and Dr. Fate rush in. See a large disembodied hand that has clamped itself on Power Girl. Superman is trying to break the grip, but he's not able to. The two Green Lanterns combine with a wedge and a big hammer to pry apart the fingers that are holding Power Girl by the cape. And if you could see me, I'm doing the pincher movement with the two fingers. That's how she's being held, and they're trying to separate that with a wedge and a hammer. Superman, Dr. Fate, Batman, Black Canary, both Green Lanterns, Hawkman, Green Arrow, and both Flashes are watching as Superman and Dr. Fate are attempting to stop the other disembodied hand that is swooping in and grabbing everybody. And it's cool. Dr. Fate is trying to surround all of the fingers in ankhs that are combining into one giant ankh across all the fingers to hold them together, but the fingers are breaking out of the individual ankhs until it swoops in and grabs everybody and pulls them outside of the satellite. And we see that the fist is traveling through time, and in it are dark, and each one of these has a little explanation for those not familiar with the Justice Society. Because remember, again, we are in the Justice League's book here. We're explained who Kent Nelson, Power Girl, The Flash, the original Scarlet Speedster, it tells us, Green Lantern, and Hawkman are. But we also see the fist has Superman, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Batman, and Black Canary of Earth 1, as well as those Earth 2 people that I mentioned. It gathers them all, takes them to 2977, and dumps them out in this area where we are here. Superman recognizes Mordru, and he brings everybody up to speed on who he is and kind of what's going on. The Green Lanterns and Dr. Fate allows everybody to break out of containment here momentarily. Dr. Fate uses his magics to make a giant size simulacrum of himself, but Mordru destroys it and knocks out Dr. Fate, who is grabbed by Hawkman, set down, and then all of the heroes attack Mordru, kind of getting him here for a little while. Power Girl and Superman knock him down. The Green Lanterns cuff his feet. Flash and Green Arrow bind him with wire, but it's all to no avail because Mordru quickly breaks out and recaptures everyone in a unbreakable sphere. And now Mordru starts telling his tale about why he's brought everybody here. Meanwhile, in the background, Dr. Fate and Black Canary are kind of whispering back and forth to each other as Dr. Fate has tried to work a little bit of magic to maybe distract Mordru and put his line of thought towards something else other than just killing everybody, which is what he immediately says he wants to do. So he starts telling the story that he is looking for three items, a magical bell, a jar, and a wheel, each that imprisons a demon. And if he gets the objects, he can free the demons and then use the magic of the demons to combine with his magic and conquer the universe. So it starts with the Legion of Superheroes. And in the first panel here, and I said I would, I believe the ones that I haven't named are Sunboy, Brainiac 5, Princess Projectra, and Wildfire. And then also Shadowlass, Chameleon Boy, Saturn Girl, Lightning Lad, and Ultra Boy are the Legion contingent. So first, Mordru captured them. He was holding several of them prisoner and sent the others of the nine, divided them up and sent them to get each one of these things, the bell, the jar, and the plate. So that didn't work. He sent them out and they never came back. So now he's like, well, I know where they were. They were on the Justice League satellite, so I'll just get them from there. That's why he materialized the hands, but something happened, and when he grabbed, he grabbed a bunch of heroes instead of those three objects. In the future, where the Legion of Superheroes are, the locations that he sent the Legion are the places where, in the future of the Justice League, but in the past of the Legion of Superheroes, the Justice League satellite exploded, and these three objects were sent shooting through space, landing in three different places. Those were the places he originally sent the Legionnaires to that he sent, and they haven't come back from those locations. So now what he has done is he has taken these JLA, JSA members, kept two as captives, that's Green Arrow and Black Canary, divided the rest up and sent them to the three locations that were the future resting places of these three items of power, just like he sent the Legionnaires. So ultimately, as the reader, you can see, oh, well, then the each location is going to get a contingent of JLA, JSA, and Legion of Superheroes characters as we go to each of the three locations. And for the most part, that is what happens. Because first, we have to see why the Legionnaires were not able to return with the item, right? And then we have to watch as the JLA and JSA team up with those Legion members to finally get the item and then see what happens. Do they bring it back to Mordru or whatever? So that's, and I say that because those of us that have read comics enough see that that's going to be how the story progresses. And for the most part, it is. Our first stop is Antares 2, looking for the Silver Wheel of Nyarlath. Sunboy and Wildfire were sent to get that one. They have allowed themselves to be captured by the dominant species, who are shape-changing aliens. I'm trying to find the name here quickly, but I'm not doing very well. Protean species, that's it. Like Proteus, the sidekick of Chameleon Boy, interestingly enough. So, along comes Hawkman, Superman, and Dr. Fate. They rescue Sunboy and Wildfire. The five of them then combine once they realize how the Proteans are using the wheel. They're worshiping it. And so using a combined Superman-Dr. Fate strategy, they snatch up the wheel Superman is so fast in doing it that it looks like the wheel is moving itself. He becomes invisible. When he flies the wheel up to the sky, Dr. Fate uses a spell that displays fireworks and big star-shaped things in the sky that fill out the sky like a giant constellation. So the idea is that the Proteans think that the wheel has returned to its home because it fell out of the sky, right? After the explosion of the satellite catapulted it, this is where it landed, fell out of the sky. The Proteans worship it as a god. So the god that they worship has returned back to the sky, to this location in the sky where the constellation is. The Proteans then decide that they're going to worship the constellation because that's where their sacred wheel went. So now Fate, Superman, Wildfire, Hawkman, and Sunboy have the first item. It's being watched on a screen by both Mordru, but also by Green Arrow and Black Canary, who now Black Canary is starting to think, I think I see what Dr. Fate was talking about when they were whispering together a little bit earlier. We cut to the Legionnaires who are being held captive. That is Chameleon Boy, Saturn Girl, Shadow Lass, Ultra Boy, and Lightning Lad, as they talk a little bit about what's happening and start second-guessing the Legionnaires that were sent to get this device because of how easy Dr. Fate and Superman and Hawkman made it look. Sunboy and Wildfire didn't do too hot a job, and it seems that at this point in Legion history, Wildfire is the leader. And so Saturn Girl is like, wow, he couldn't even get out of that. I wonder if we need to, you know, have a recall vote and get us a new president, because he's not doing very good. So we then cut to the magical bell of the Bell of Uthul, U-T-H-O-O-L, Uthul. And here, Batman and Green Lantern of Earth 1 and 2 are the combined force that is going after this. Seems that the bell is ringing and it is attracting a whole bunch of dragon-looking creatures in the atmosphere of this planet. When they try to descend down to the planet more closer, nice English there, verbiage. As they try to get closer to the bell, the dragons take notice of them and start attacking them. On the surface, while they're fighting off the dragons trying to get to the surface, on the surface, Princess Projectra and Projectra and Brainiac 5 are being questioned by the residents of this planet, which is Vaxxon, V-A-X-O-N, because they landed on the planet and said, hey, yo, we need the bell. And the Vaxxonians are like, what? The bell is the only thing keeping these dragons from coming in and eating all of us. So no, we're not going to give you the bell. The Vaxxonians tell the story so that we, the reader, are aware of the story. Just as they finish, the Green Lanterns and Batman get there with an idea. Batman says, well, what you need is a scarecrow. And everybody is like, what? But he talks to Brainiac 5 and talks to the Green Lanterns. And they come up with a creature that is a natural predator of dragons. And it turns out it's a creature that lives on Princess Projectra's planet. So she shows them it. It's called a Xanthor, X-A-N-T-H-O-R. And it looks like a giant, many-legged centipede with a big mouth and eye. It's just a big conglomerate-looking thing that is as big as a planet. So regardless of how fierce it looks, it's big enough that it could eat these dragons. So no wonder it's a natural predator. So they have an image of it. They go find a dead rocky planetoid somewhere, and the Green Lanterns start carving a bas relief on one side of the planetoid. They put it so that it will now orbit the planet like our moon orbits Earth, with this face constantly turned facing the planet. And so that is their scarecrow. The dragons see this creature. They realize somehow, even though it's two completely different planets, that it's a natural predator of dragons. They fly off, the planet is safe, and the Vaxxonians, in gratitude, give the bell as was requested by Princess Projectra and Brainiac 5 to begin with. We cut to the final grouping, who is Power Girl and the Flash, and they're destination is not a planet. It is another dimension where the Legionnaires did find the jar, but they hid the jar in a spherical safe and shunted the safe to keep it away from Mordru into another dimension. So when the Flash and Power Girl get there, most of the work is done by Power Girl. Flash has to use his ability to moderate the dimension that his atoms are in such a way as to hold the door open between their dimension and the dimension of where the jar was, which is also a dimension that contains creatures that look kind of like giant frogs. And everywhere, the frogs are sitting on spheres. One of the spheres has this door-looking thing like you see on naval vessel doors, the circular handle that you spin. So that is the one in question, because all the other spheres just look like spheres. Power Girl goes to this one, but the creature that is on it, this big nasty froggy-looking thing with gnashing, gnarly teeth and antennae, kicks her away. And not, you know, Power Girl realizes, well, you know, I could squash you like a bug, but I don't want to have to do that. Something else is going on. And she looks around and notices, well, everyone else is sitting on these spheres too. What if the spheres are offspring? And what if all these creatures are the females of their species? So they're all brooding. And somehow this one has become confused with the circular safe. If I find the offspring that this one is not sitting on, the one that doesn't have anyone covering it, I'll take it, I'll replace the safe with this, and the brooding mother will actually be sitting on an egg, and I'm throwing up the quote marks, an egg of the species, and she'll be able to brood it better. So that's what Power Girl does. She then busts into the safe, grabs the jar of, doesn't tell me here quickly, the jar of Wachimaka. No, I won't say that because I don't know what that is. I don't want to offend anybody. The magic jar, and they get out of the dimension. The Flash appears to Mordru and says, hey, yo, we got the jar. We hid the jar. Free everybody, and I'll go get the jar. And Mordru thinks about it, and he's like, well, you know, I could just kill you. And Flash is like, well, yeah, you could, but then you wouldn't know where the jar is, and you'd be right where you are anyway. So, and Mordru's like, I will consider your proposal, Earthling. And ultimately, he does. He frees everybody. Flash gives him the jar as Mordru is doing his magic-y things with these three magical items. All of the combined JSA, JLA, Legion of Superheroes heroes attack him. He brushes them aside long enough to free the three demons that we last saw in JLA issue 47, I think is what they told us, which that was discussed in episode 124 of the podcast, because that was Justice League issues 46 and 47 was also a JSA-JLA crossover. And that's where the two teams combined to defeat these demons and imprison them in these magical artifacts. So Mordru frees them, and they were imprisoned in places on Earth, one in the Antarctic, one in the Xinquang Desert, and one in the South Atlantic. So that's where they spring up, on Earth of now, right? And then they transport to, well, yeah, Earth 1, because we are in the future of Earth 1, right? I think that's where the Legion of Superheroes is. So these demons were trapped in our time, 20 episodes of the podcast ago, and they are freed in 2977. So that's hundreds and hundreds of years of imprisonment. So they're pretty upset. Mordru, who freed them, and so they're kind of like, well, is he responsible? No, they see the Justice League and Justice Society over there, and they say, oh, well, those are the people that imprisoned us. We recognize them. And Mordru is like, yes, yes, my demons, kill them, destroy them as I command, because I command you. And the demons are like, what? Hold up, dog, you what? And they all three say, kapow, and they knock out Mordru, grab the vessel that each of them is tied to, because if they can manage to destroy the vessel, no one else will be able to get the vessel and do anything that the demons don't want done. That is kind of the, right now, the controlling device. So if they can take them, now they tried before in the JLA-JSA team-up in issues 46 and 47 to destroy the devices before they were tied to them and imprisoned by them, but they were not able to destroy them. I don't know how they're going to do it this time, but they lay Mordru out, they grab their things, they take off, and everyone seems to have forgotten that all of the heroes are free. They've just been knocked out and about and whatever. They're on the Legion headquarters here, wherever. But Black Canary and Green Arrow are still in this timed sand timer on Mordru's chest. He shrunk it and made it a necklace bauble. And so they're still trapped in there with the sands of time running out, almost burying them. Laying, this bauble is laying on Mordru's chest as he's laying on the floor knocked out. And that's where this half of the story ends. The narrator tells us what on earth has happened to the JLA or the JSA, and what of Green Arrow and Black Canary? We may never know, for now the demons are free, and that, dear friends, spells crisis in triplicate. Coming up next in JLA 148 on sale first week in August. And so that is where this 52-page super spectacular crossover finishes up and leaves us hanging there. So next episode, I will be looking at and then speaking to you about Justice League of America, the 1960 volume, issue 148, the second half of the 1977 annual crossover between JLA and JSA. Talk to you guys then. Ciao.